And this video, we're going to go from a creaky data model to broken promises and technical difficulties. So, hopefully not just about the model creaking. No.
Yeah.
You're not having technical difficulties with the slides, are you?
Always technical difficulties. Right, so how do I have to put this off?
Give it a moment.
Right, does it work?
Yeah, cool.
Okay, Ilya.
So, just a moment. Right.
Hello, everyone, again. I am Ilya Zverev, and basically all I want from OpenStreetMap now is to follow edits around me and have a means to revert them. It doesn't seem like a hard task to do. We already have reverting tools. But it doesn't seem quite simple now. Like, how many of you are comfortable reverting change sets now? Cool. Mostly data working group, right? So the thing is, API 0.6, 10 years ago, was made partially with thought of making reverting things easy. But I don't think it is there yet. So maybe we can somehow improve things to, because reverts are really needed now. Not by just individual mappers, but by companies, because OpenStreetMap is used by so many companies and people around the world. And we need to follow the map more closely. So how do we do that? How do we make reverts and monitoring changes easier? The first thing that comes to mind is changing our API. And API is basically two things in one. The first one being a data model. You know, nodes, weights, relation, tags, that's our data model. It has been there since the beginning of the project, I guess. And people often think about what would we want for the next API? Like, what do we need for API 0.7? This is not that talk, but I will touch on some of these things. Like, the common things that people list are pretty simple from an outsider's point of view. Like areas, locations of ways. These are things that would simplify a lot working with our data for data consumers. Thing is, these suggestions look like we need to make our data model simpler, closer to OGC's simple features, like the polygons, line strings, all self-contained. It would be so simple to process them because every other tools uses simple features. But that doesn't account for what we already have. We don't actually need simple features because things we do have now, they already work. We know how to tell closed ways from polygons. We can build multi-polygons from data we have, and thanks to Johan, well, we now have a single working model for multi-polygons. Yes, it takes quite a lot of memory to do that, but I won't say there are things that are not possible without turning to simple features. We need to think more about what we have. OpenStreetMap model is different. We need to underline its strengths to make better use for what we already have. like in the data model, in our data model, everything is connected to everything. You know, like nodes connected to ways, everything's connected to relations, and the whole data model is just this one big ball of geodata. It is hard to untangle, but it allows us to do stuff that no other data model could allow. So we can underlie strain by improving our data model in ways that makes it easier to use, for example, like enforcing references. Right now, we have ways that reference nodes, but we also can, we should make nodes reference ways, so which would solve a lot of issues, like incomplete downloads, like conflicts on editing, well, a lot of these. This is just an example of change, but since we have things connected to each other, why not make that connection obvious, explicit? And then object versions. They obviously don't work, like Johan showed last year. Like, for example, a way, a part of a road can change its geometry many times between inside a single version. Because when a node or way is moved, the way stays the same with the same version. And that makes reverting very tedious, because you don't use versions for that. Suddenly you find yourself using timestamps, and that, like, versions don't help anything at all. So we also can fix this, that from the data model, like make things explicit, like on each geometry change, increase way version number or something, or reference nodes with complete versions, concrete versions. So these are examples of things that we can do to enforce our specialty as data model. But then, nobody has yet changed to API 0.7, and there are quite obvious reasons for that, because it is pretty hard. It was hard last time, like 10 years ago. It wasn't just a single person who made all the work. It was like a dozen people working for half a year. Most of them were paid to do it. And this was all this big joint effort to do a new API version. And it won't be easier the next time. It will be even harder, because just finding people who know how to touch CGI map, ID, JOSM, RailsPort, or SMTP JSQL, how to implement stuff in this is hard. Paying developers is not hard. It will take like 100,000 euros. SMF has that kind of money. This conference is not much cheaper. But then, if you find developers, then you have to plan all the thing. And I believe most of you have the idea what to do for a P.7, and these are different ideas. Making a coherent plan out of that is hard. And then people who were in opposite map 10, 15 years ago are still there. They maintain our infrastructure, and they know the most important thing in engineering is that if it does work, don't change it. Most of them are pretty content with what you have now, and pathing the changes through them might be quite hard. So we might look for other ways. Look at the API, not as data model, but as interface. In the past 10 years, since we have API 0.6, a lot has changed in the API. We got change set discussions, nodes, redactions, moderation queue, many other changes. That was all added without increasing API number. And if you look at these things, how they are built inside, their API is very messy with different formats, especially opposite map nodes. You can ask Andy, he has a lot of stories about that. And that's a good thing. That means that you don't have to make a new interfaces perfect to them, for them to be accepted into the core. We just have to make them work. So what can we do to simplify reverting stuff and monitoring changes? Pretty obvious things. Some of them are already there, like finding deleted objects. Potlatch could do it, and now we cannot. Now, to undelete a single way, we have to make like 1,000 requests to SMAPI for a full history. It shouldn't be so. It should be just a couple requests. It's almost impossible to find what's been deleted now. And the history should be more accessible. Now we get only the latest versions of everything. And it's hard to query the history of complex objects, weights, relations for the previous states, because again, versions don't work. There has to be timestamps. And we need to get the whole tree of changes, and it's hard. But the data is still in the database. These interfaces are just a means to access the database of OpenStreetMap. And we can get the data. We can write SQL queries to get the data, provide them to user. It might be hard, but it's doable. We can get history for region. We can have better history like on the OSM website. And that would make reverting easier, because when you have history, you can revert to any point in the history. And partly this was mentioned in the proposal for API plane 6, that with that we can make endpoint for simple reverts, just pass the change set number to the API and get the new change set number back from it. And that would make for buttons like in Wikipedia, with difference and undoing, like on the website. It would be so simple. And while we're at it, we can also add a thank you button, which I would like very much. But again, that is also hard. You have to know Rails port. You have to pass the people who watch over API. And why not just know the third way? Don't touch Rails port and API at all. Like, thanks to Andy, changing API would be much simpler in future. But currently, if you want something done, like, for example, downloading a large batch of data, which current API doesn't allow you, you have to make something yourself. Like, download the whole data, whole planet to a server, and write anything you like on any language you like with all the API methods you want, like that allows you to filter data by tags or download entire countries. Basically, that's what Roland, author of the Overpass API, did. He has made Overpass API to cover the drawbacks of OSM API, and it evolved since then. Now it's all this big tool with its own query language that you have to study, and that can do different things besides querying, like calculating statistics and producing even augmented difference files for changes inside the region, which almost solves the issue of change set monitoring. And some tools, like OSM-CHA by Willy, uses Overpass to query our changes, because then you get geometries. Then you can look at change set and see with your eyes what has been changed. That looks pretty well. I believe some of you have tried OSM-CHA, and it looks amazing. It has great filtering and so on. But still, it has got its drawbacks. Like, I sometimes get arguments, complaints from my OSM Streak tool, a tool that helps users map every day. It has mapping suggestions. And one of them is to draw something in Chile and another something in Kamchatka. and the resulting change set covers the whole vault. And that suggestion shows an issue with our change sets, and it gets quite a lot of complaints. Why does it get it? Because we've got a data model, nodes, ways, and relations. And like language sometimes defines your worldview, our data model defines, again, how you see the world. Like I look on the street and I see nodes for trees, ways for roads, and relations for bus routes. It's the same for our tools. And if we had different data model, like around API point 3, we switch from segments, which connected 2 points, to ways, which connected lots of points. And if we still had that, a road, not just a very long way, but a set of segments, you won't have a frustration splitting the roads, because they will be all split by default. And I believe we won't have duplication of tags like name and highway class. They will go on relations, so the roads will become not this thing with lots of attributes, but a physical thing. And relations will carry virtual attributes of the road, and our view of the world will be different because we will split in our minds like things to physical and virtual. And your tools are defined by API. And in regard for monitoring changes, overpass is defined and OSMchat are defined by change set IDs. Like, or to get this big change set with just a few changes, OSMchat has to download all the changes in the world for an hour and then filter them by a number. And you can see why that might be a problem. So, as versions, change set do not help as much in monitoring and reverting change set. So, nobody should rely on them. They are just arbitrary things that group edits, and nobody even regards change set as something meaningful. Some people just click save after every edit, like draw a building, saved, draw another, save. And that is also an issue for monitoring tools. People complain about that. When change sets don't work, why don't we look at individual changes, like smaller ones? Like we need to go to split all these to the smallest possible changes. Like move the node, edit a tag, change the way geometry. And these split would allow us to do so much more, because individual change, like adding a tag, can be easily reverted. We know what was and we know what is. And these changes can be grouped. Not by arbitrary identifiers, but for example, we can group them by area, changes in Heidelberg. Group them by timestamps, changes yesterday in Heidelberg, by user, changes by Frederick yesterday in Heidelberg, and by edit type, like edit trees in Heidelberg yesterday by Frederick. And, and by grouping changes, it becomes so easier to work with them. It doesn't matter if a user has uploaded a change set with 1,000 buildings or 1,000 change sets with a single building each. It doesn't matter if they edited Chell and Kamchatka in a single change set or in two. You just look at individual changes. And it would allow for human readable descriptions, which was an experiment long ago, but it didn't work for some reason, but it can do. Human readable descriptions can be automated. We don't need to rely on users to write what change set is about. Like, some time ago, I worked in MapsMe, and I did automatic change set commenting. MapSme is very simple. It can do edits like edit two shops, updated the restaurant. So change.comments described perfectly what was inside the change set. And I still was getting complaints that comments should not describe what's inside the change set. They should describe why a user has made the change. Why do you edit OpenStreetMap? I laughed at this at the moment, and I use it as a sarcastic slide in some presentation. But now I feel like they were onto something. Like, why we can have what using just algorithms by looking inside the change set. Like, you can group your theoretical atomic changes and see that it's not a bounding box and edit dozen nodes and edit some ways with this text. You can have better human readable descriptions, like edit two buildings in Chel, one building in Kamchatka, and change that comment why. Because I did an OSM strict task. And with these two strings, you don't even have to look inside the change set. You know what happened. And by grouping, by filtering, you can have a constant stream of changes that you can understand. You don't have to put them on the map even. That's what looking at atomic changes can do. So, for this to work, we need to stop considering the data model as the one and only truth. We need to stop relying on things that are in the data model but don't work. We can improve them via API data model, via API as an interface, but we need to work with the data now. And for that, we need to stop seeing trees as nodes, roads as ways, and bus roads relation, but see things for what they really are. Like changes, not as part of change sets, not as versions, but as individual changes that for what they are. We need to think beyond the data model, and with that, we need to make better tools that help people, not just rehash the data model. Thank you.
Thank you, Ilya. So, questions? Benny, at the back. Guys coming behind you, wait for the microphone, and then the live stream can hear.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ilya. That was great. I loved a lot of the things. The parent ID is just amazing. I wish we could have that. My question is a bit about the practically, if you have any ideas of how one would do this arbitrary grouping. I've always been uncomfortable with the idea of chain side grouping. I worked on OSM-CHA, and this is something that always made me uncomfortable. Like, why are we grouping by change sets? It's completely arbitrary, but it seemed also like the only practical way to do it, because if you stored every atomic change in the database and allowed a user to choose their own grouping, it just became became a scale problem. Like, what backend do we use that we can filter all these millions of changes and allow the user to do their own arbitrary grouping? Do you have any ideas of how one would actually design a backend that would store each atomic change and then allow users to group in whatever way they want to group and not be forced into this arbitrary change set grouping?
Right, thanks, Willa. I didn't get most of the question, but I know for sure that while atomic change sets sound easier, like moving things, they will take a lot of storage and they will be very hard to implement, because you will have to think not in ways that are defined by that you're used to, like node nodes. You have to think what user wants, not what data gives you. And yeah, it will take a lot of storage because we had an attempt on that with OpenStreetMap watchlist by Pavel Paprota. And well, it worked quite slow and it took a lot of space. But these are technical problems. Technical issues are solvable. it's people issues that are hard to solve. And assessing our changes, reverting them, is more of a people issue than a technical issue.
Cool. And right by the microphone. Yep, you there.
With the atomic changes, would there still be a way for users to indicate that several changes belong together and are a unit? Like if you remove a tag from one object and add it to another one, and what you actually want to indicate that the tag moved to the other object, and that is actually one operation.
Yeah, I agree that splitting changes into theoretical atoms is not easy. Because when you move a node, it can result in multiple changes, if I get it correctly. Like you can simultaneously move an individual node, like a traffic light, and then change geometry of one road, change geometry of another road, and also change tags. This may need to go in hand with other changes like versioning and stuff. I didn't think about that all that deep, but just did some experiments. We need to think about it. I don't have concrete solutions. If I had them, then I'll just give you an URL to a better reverter, and it doesn't work like that.
Cool. This guy a bit further back.
Hi, I'm Vincent from JASM. So I fully agree with everything you said. But like you said, the biggest problem is not a technical problem, it's a people problem. The hardest thing is to get motivated people to do it. And I think we can't be sure it will be entirely feasible before we start actually coding it. So, did you talk about this to other people before this conference? And did you find anyone motivated to start a prototype and see if we can do something concretely?
We don't have a prototype. We have some initial attempts at that. Like I have a tool called Simple Reverter, which you just pass number of change set and it reverts it without asking anything. But it's very simple, but it builds on some of the principles I'm talking about. Like it tries to split the change set into atomic changes and revert them, but it's very raw. It's still dependent on the data model. I talked about this at a few other conferences, local ones, like in Russian and stuff. But yeah, we would need people on board. We might need to plan it or just draft it. This is the first time basically I'm speaking about it on an international conference, so I really hope this sparks some ideas in some of you, and maybe you can, you know, start something or just contact me, Vincent, Quincy, somebody who knows about data model, and we can make something.
Cool. I think we'll just go, this will be the last one down there.
Yeah.
Microphone just behind you.
Thank you. Ilya. Sorry for that.
Isn't it a tiny, really bit misleading referring to the Wikipedia referred and diff mechanism in the context of OpenStreetMap? Because the difficulty is not really reverting a change set that just happened, it's reverting one which you notice half a year down the road that it's broken. And naturally you have all the related information or related changes which other people have made in the meantime and references to the objects there, which is what makes reverting really difficult in OSM. And Wikipedia naturally doesn't have that because the articles themselves are largely self-contained.
Yeah, I agree the example was a bit simpler than it could be. And it, unlike Wikipedia, where articles are independent, and it's easy to revert any change because they're linear and opposite map is, again, the intertwined, messy ball of geodata. And reverting anything pulls all the data from all the opposite maps suddenly. But again, people who edit Wikipedia, I guess, are used to concept of merging, like three-way merge. When you add something or revert something and something was added before, so you just take data from three sources and make them one. And we don't have that in OpenStreetMap because we can have like a 100-way merge, like it usually happens. Like 100 people change something and now you need to revert it and you don't know where to start. But going to atomic changes means that for each change, you have previous state, next state, and merges will be much simpler. And that might help in reverting. Yeah, it's like that. That's what I use in my simple reverter. It's basically a tool for three-way merge of old data and new data. And it can do really old reverts. If somebody edit a tag on a way and then people edit it this way around, then it can just remove the tag and the revert will go quite well. So yeah, going to atomic changes will simplify reverts in that way.
Okay, cool. I've got a notice, but first of all, thank you, Ilya, for that talk.